Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Pure as water, make me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you.
Hello friends, thank you so much for joining us today. The Lord bless you and keep you and fill you with His Spirit and His wisdom and all those good things, because He loves to. And we've been studying dreams and visions, and we spoke on the importance in our last meeting of dreams and visions, obviously from one end of the Bible to the other, and they didn't stop there either. They've been going for the last 2,000 years in God's people, a way that God has of giving direction and wisdom and fulfilling prophecy and on and on, we discovered. Very, very important part of our relationship with God. And He promised that in the last days, we would dream dreams, see visions, so on and so forth. And Father, we just thank You in the name of Jesus, Lord, for opening our understanding and giving us a word today that will help us to discern between true and false dreams and visions, Lord. Help us, Lord, to discern by Your Spirit. Help us to know how to receive good dreams from You, Lord, because there is keys to receiving this from You, and help us to understand how that we can always be on the receiving end of truth from You, Lord. And we just give thanks unto You, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Well, I'd like to start in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're told in chapter 2, some of you may not understand this, but it really speaks of a corporate body called the Son of Perdition in chapter 2. People are thinking it's talking about the Antichrist. And we're not going to get into that part today, but let me tell you that everything that happened in Jesus' day is once again happening in our day. Just as they, the body of Christ, had a entity in their midst called the Son of Perdition, who was Judas, and he wasn't revealed until the falling away came first, exactly what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 speaks about. We also have in the midst of the corporate body today a body called the Son of Perdition. And their job, of course, is to deceive and to bring the saints to their cross and all the things that Judas himself did. But we're told, you know, is there any time that you really can't trust God? Well, most people say no. But there is. There is a time when some people cannot trust God. And I'll tell you when it is. Let me read this verse to you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Even he, that is the Son of Perdition, whose coming is according to the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceit of unrighteousness. Deceit meaning it could come in the form of a dream or a vision through someone, or a prophecy through someone, or even to you directly. With all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. A love for truth. A love for truth over and above any other ambition you might have, any other lust that you might have, any other idol that you might have, is very important if you want truth, right? And verse 11 says, and for this cause God sendeth them a working of error, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Those who have pleasure in unrighteousness, God will send a working of error. You see, there is a time when certain people cannot trust God, because He Himself will send deception to them. And, you know, the Bible says in John 3 and 27, a man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. Do you know that God is ultimately in control of everything that comes to your life? And believe me, if he sends deception, you get deceived. And if you've got an idol in your life, because you're having pleasure in unrighteousness, then he will send deception. This is not a one-time thing. It's not just an end-time thing. This is a constant thing. He sends deception. He lets people go through times of turmoil, trouble, delusion, so that they might repent, so that they might see value in the truth. The truth will set you free, Jesus said, right? And there is a time when both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, God says he sends deception. For instance, Ezekiel chapter 14 is a good example of that. This chapter is all about God sending deception. He takes credit for it. If you want to have good dreams and visions that are truthful, you have to get the idols out of your life. You need to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Somebody who is not driven by self-will or personal lusts. You need repentance. If you want the truth, you need repentance. God said he will send the truth to those that love it, but he will send deception to those who don't. So if you want to have good dreams, if you want to have people receive good dreams about you that they can give to you, if you personally want to have good dreams and visions, you must love the truth. You must give up your idols. If you refuse to give up your idols, you will be deceived. It says it here in Ezekiel 14. Let me read it to you. It says, "Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me, and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have taken their idols into their heart, and put this stumbling block of their iniquity before their face." In other words, this is what they're looking to. This is what they've got their eyes on, their own sinful lusts, you know. "Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, every man of the house of Israel," how many? "Every man of the house of Israel that taketh his idols into his heart," that is, things that are more important to you than God, than his truth, than his righteousness, right? "Every man of the house of Israel that taketh his idols into his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him therein according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols." So God says, if you got idols, he's going to send deception to you. In fact, the rest of this chapter says exactly the same thing. It says, "Therefore I say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord, Return ye, turn yourselves from your idols, turn away your faces from all of your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that separates himself from me and takes his idols into his heart, and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet to inquire for himself of me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself." Some people don't think that it would be the Lord that would deceive. And many people, of course, would say, well, the devil deceived so-and-so. But the devil has no sovereignty. A man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. The Lord himself has the final say on everything. And so he's the one we have to fear, you see. People fear the devil, which is foolish. We need to fear God. That's who we're commanded to fear, because he's the one who has the ultimate say. And many people have idols. They want what they want. And I've run into this a lot, and I've seen that people cannot be delivered from deception when they've got an idol in their heart. Some people, for instance, I've received dreams and visions from people for years. Friends that I've had that, for instance, are in the pre-trib doctrine. And they get supernatural dreams and visions about an imminent rapture of the church. And it's going to happen before such and such a time, or this is the sign that's going to be very, very soon. And this has been happening to me for years and years. They send me these dreams and visions. And I send them back, or I used to send them back. I don't do it so much anymore to the same people because they've heard what I've had to say. And I've said to them, please, you know, study these verses. Please try to understand what the Bible is saying here. This cannot happen. What you're showing me here, this imminent is not going to happen. There are some things that have to happen before the rapture. And here's what the Bible says about it. They ignore them every time. You know why? They got an idol in their heart. They don't want to be here. And so they have permitted themselves to believe exactly what they want to believe, and they don't care how many scriptures you give to them or how many times you prove to them that that was a lying vision or dream. Because I've done it many times. I've said, this is not going to happen because it's not according to the scriptures. And after a while, some of these people have just kind of not bothered to send them to me anymore. But they're always waiting for the next one, waiting for the next one, waiting for the next one. And their idol is, of course, that they don't care what God wants. God is not first. They only care what they want. They desire earnestly to escape all of these things and not go through tribulation. There are other people that have certain doctrines, for instance. One thing we have wrestled with is a Jezebel spirit in the church. You know, they don't care what the New Testament has to say about, for instance, women in the ministry. They don't care about that. You know, we can't do anything of ourselves. We have the new covenant. You know, it's very plain. We can't add to it. We can't take away from it under penalty of coming under a curse if we do that. Read the last four verses of the book of Revelation. And yet, people, because they have a personal ambition and desire, they will ignore every scripture in the New Testament. They will attempt to pervert ones that they think they can twist and pervert, and they will ignore everything you say to them. Why? Personal ambition. An idol. Selfish desires. You see? And so, God lets them continue to believe this lie. And I'm just using these as examples. There are many examples. People have what they consider to be an ambition for prosperity, for escaping judgment, unconditional eternal security. They've insulated themselves from anything that could happen to them by false doctrines. That's an idol. And God has deceived them. And because they won't give up their idol to say, I repent, Lord, your word says this, I believe your word, I accept your word, because of that, God sends them a delusion that they'll believe a lie. They don't care how many scriptures you share with them. See, it is idolatry. If you want truth in dreams and visions from prophets, direction from other people in dreams and visions for you, or personally, if you want truth, you must give up your idols. You must repent. You must become a disciple of Jesus Christ. You must let the Word speak for itself. Otherwise, the Word is not God. And you're your own God. You have a right to say what's good and what's bad. And the problem is, he said they will call good evil and evil good. And that's exactly what's happened. And every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Why? Because of their idols. They are estranged from me because of their idols, God says. And God says that everyone that comes to me with his idols in front of his face, he's going to send them a delusion. And so, he said, I, the Lord, will answer him myself. I will set my face against that man, and I will make him an astonishment for a sign, a proverb. And I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived and speak a word, or I might add dreamers or visions or anything else, any other revelation of truth, method of revelation of truth from God, he will send deception that way. If the prophet be deceived and speak a word, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him, and I will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. All because of idols, this deception. Multitudes of God's people are trapped in deception, in lies, because they have idols. Most dangerous thing, you see, because God's promised deception to this person. So, can people have deceiving dreams that will lead them astray? Absolutely. Happens all the time. Okay. The one defense we have is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and put Him first, and respect His Word, because that is God manifested to us. Balaam is a really good example. You know, Balaam had an idol. He Balak offered him blessings if he would just curse the children of Israel, and God, of course, said no. And so he came back with a bigger bribe, and Balaam went to the Lord again to see if God would change his mind, you know, because obviously this bribe was pulling on him, this lust, this ambition, this idol was in his heart. And so God said, sure, go ahead, only say the words that I give you. So Balaam goes, and the only thing that saves him is his donkey has more sense. And he sees the angel of the Lord that's waiting to kill Balaam because he was doing what God told him to do. God sent him deception because he had an idol in his heart. And does he do the same with us? Yes, he's not a respecter of persons. This is one way he has of cleansing his body of people that are not trustworthy and that are basically tares and leaven in the body to really destroy the body. Many people think that dreams are always deceptive. There's a large portion of the church that believes dreams are just silly, you know, because they don't read the Bible, don't respect the Bible, and don't really know how to hear from God. They use verses like in Ecclesiastes 5, for instance. Let me read this to you. It's verse 3. Many people quote this just to mean that dreams are just foolish. But they ignore the whole rest of the Bible in order to make an idol out of a verse which they have perverted. And so in this very thing they're deceived. He says in verse 3, "For a dream cometh with a multitude of business, and a fool's voice with a multitude of words." And this is one of the verses that they love to use to say, well, you can't pay any attention to those crazy dreams. When we read the scriptures, we see that dreams are very parabolic. You know, they're very, many times hidden. The revelation is hidden there. But it's the glory of God to conceal a thing, and it's the glory of kings to seek it out. God wants us to desire earnestly after Him so that He would reveal to us what He is saying to us. I tell you, when you do that, when you search it out and God reveals it to you, it really sticks with you good. It's a lot better than God just speaking a revelation to you straight off and you receiving it. You may even forget that. But I tell you what, when you research it, you ask God, you seek Him, you prove to Him that it's important to you to hear from Him, then you remember it. You remember it. It sticks with you very well. And you learn a lot of other things along the way. Well, let me point out to you that they're really just taking this out of context. Notice the first word in that verse. It says "for," meaning he's talking about something he's already talked about, right? So if you go back, say, to verse 1, he says, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. For to draw nigh to hear is better than to give the sacrifice of fools." So what is he saying? He's saying the sacrifices of fools is people talking. Not listening, but talking, right? And especially when the Lord's not talking, right? When it's just them talking, them exercising their windpipe, right? "For they know not that they do evil." Who is it that speaks in the house of God that does evil? Well, of course, those that are not sent. Many people love to talk. They love to have the preeminence. They may have been good salesmen in the world, you know, before coming to the Lord. I've known people like that who were super salesmen, and they were just that good when they got in the pulpit. The only thing was, it wasn't God, you know. And, of course, the Jezebel spirit has invaded the church, you know, and there are people that just love to talk, love to take the preeminence, love to be up there in front of people. But I'd rather see a Moses any day, right? Moses did not want to be up there. He did not want to talk. God send somebody else. Send my brother. Sure, he'll go. He's a good talker, you know. He just really didn't want the preeminence, you know. There are demagogues that love to get up there and bring people into bondage because they use people's emotions against them. We know political demagogues nowadays that do the same thing, you know. But there are people that aren't sent of the Lord. And they give the sacrifice of fools, thinking that what the church needs is to hear from them, you know. This is ridiculous, folks. We don't need to go if we're not sent. And so, and he's talking about people bringing forth dreams that are basically self-willed people, impulsive people, people that have personal ambition. You know, much of the church thinks that it's a good thing to climb the corporate ladder, you know, and come into a position of authority, you know, and they think they can go to Bible school and get their certificate so they can go and do this. But God says, oh, no, you come on up another way. You're not coming through the door, which is Christ. We can't choose to be a preacher. We can't choose to be a prophet. We can't choose any of the people do it all the time. They choose titles. They love titles, you know, in the church. They love to be competitive. But I tell you what, it's a dangerous thing to get up in front of God's people. There is an end to these things. The Lord calls it the sacrifice of fools. And many of these same people who have this idol of self in front of their lives, some of these same people are getting lying and deceiving dreams because God said He would deceive them. He said He would do it. And so, He's sending them a dream. This verse is talking about these people. He's talking about in verse 1 and 2, just to look at it in the text, right? He calls it a fool's voice with a multitude of words. And their dreams are worthless. You know, anybody that has their idols in front of their face, their dreams cannot be trusted. And if you or I put an idol in front of our face, something that's more important to us than just hearing from God, just hearing truth, just loving truth, you know, just taking the position that God gives me without seeking to take a position that God does not give me, you know. All these things are a sacrifice of fools, God says. And these people, they can't be trusted. Their dreams can't be trusted. You know, they're usually the loudest people in the bunch, the most charismatic people in the bunch. Have you ever noticed? The people who are naturally gifted in the world to get up in front of people and do the things that they do. And the world and the world of church seems to respect these people more than the people like the Apostle Paul, for instance, and those ignorant fishermen, the Moseses, you know, the people that never chose to take a position of their own. In other words, they have not become their own God. They will only do what they are sent to do. So I say that using this verse to say that dreams are foolish and the sacrifice of fools, I say that this is only talking about these people who are being deceived and are able to deceive others, you know. But at any rate, we need to make sure that we only take a position that God gives us. We only go when we're sent. We don't seek because we have a natural gift in the world. to take a position or to take authority over people, or to be a demagogue as far as bringing people into captivity, so to speak. There are many people that are that way. The charismatic, the very gifted people have brought many, many churches into bondage, as Timothy chapter 3 tells us very plainly. And also, I might add, in Deuteronomy 13, we have a good example of this, of the dream and the dreamer, that we need to be careful. Deuteronomy 13, it says, if there arise in the midst of thee a prophet or a dreamer of dreams. Many times we don't think of this part. A dreamer of dreams. People can come and bring deceptive dreams and visions in order to lead you astray. You know, when people have idols, God turns them over to spirits that are quite capable of giving false prophecies, of giving false dreams, of giving false visions. They're turned over to deception. You know. And he says, if there arise in the midst of thee a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he give thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass. You know, you can have dreams and visions that actually happen, that actually come to pass, just like prophecies. But that doesn't mean that this is not a deception. The devil many times has to add more truth with something to get you to accept it, the closer you are to God. And he knows that. And so, you know, a person can be very gifted in dreams. They can be used of God in dreams, but they can also go astray, and those dreams turn into something bad. And he goes on to say, whereof he spake unto thee, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. And I've pointed out to you that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we're told that in verse 20, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I would not that you should have communion with demons. So in other words, when he talks about other gods here, he's talking about people who are deceived, and they are deceiving. And they have deceiving spirits, and they may be giving dreams or visions that may be true up to a point, but the point is to lead you to worship or to follow this demon, this other god, other Elohim here, you know, that you have not known, okay? So this can happen. You know, I've known people that had dreams and visions that came to pass. I knew a woman years ago who, she actually had a Jezebel spirit. And her husband was a very nice guy, but he was an Ahab. You know, basically, he did not serve the Lord. He served his wife. He had an idol. She was his idol. And she loved it that way. She wouldn't have had it any other way. She ruled over his life, and she directed his life. And she had many dreams. The dreams were actually true. For years, she would bring dreams to me about herself that she had. And I would interpret them. And in almost all of the instances, it was an amazing thing to me, but God was continually rebuking her for her self-will, for this Jezebel spirit, for this ruling, attempting to take authority in the church, attempting to take authority, or actually taking authority, in her family, that, of course, the Bible does not permit. Okay. And God just rebuked her and rebuked her and rebuked her and rebuked her. And it was almost like she didn't need an interpretation anymore. She finally gave up coming to get an interpretation from me. But you know, I found that if there's a bad spirit in a person, that ultimately if you correct that spirit, it will turn on you and it will speak bad things to you. And I've seen this happen over and over again. Spirits that are in people seek to be subtle. They seek to hide. They seek to change things just a little bit, you know, just lead you a little bit closer and closer to them and a little bit further and further away from the truth. They seek to be subtle. They seek to hide. You have to be careful for the little hooks in a dream or a vision. You have to watch for false doctrine. You have to watch for false dates and things like that. You have to watch for these things. Anyway, back to this sister. I never was condemning when I would interpret the dreams. I don't think anybody else would have come up with any other interpretation, really. They were pretty straightforward and pretty simple. But there came a time when she started receiving dreams about me. And it was not good. You know, she, for instance, had a couple of dreams that I was going to die of a heart attack. And, of course, I rejected that. I just didn't receive it. I received it rather as a word from the devil, you know, because it wasn't according to God's word. You know, God's... And at the time, the devil knew exactly what I was going through. I was going through heart palpitations, and I was feeling pain in my heart. And so it was a temptation to me, but when I realized, you know, that only the devil wants me to believe in the curse and that I'm to accept only what the Word of God says about me, and that is that by the stripes of Jesus I was healed. And so I just cast it down, and of course I was healed. But she was used to tempt me, to try me, you see. And of course I was correcting those spirits. And I've discovered this many times, that you may have a person that has been having dreams that do come to pass, and they are right. But if there is a bad spirit in there, and they may not even know it, they may not know this. It may be something that's been passed on unto them through their parents. It may be something they've inherited, and they may not know it. And they may even be disciples of Jesus. They may be walking in what they know to walk in, but they know they've got problems, and they don't know what to do about it, and they may not have discernment that this is a spirit that's hindering them and fighting against them and tempting them and so on and so forth. And so what is our attitude towards people like that? You know, there are people that are just willful deceivers, are just interested in deceiving. There are other people that are being tormented by spirits, and of course they need help. What do we do about such things? I knew a sister one time that had extremely powerful dreams and visions from the Lord concerning, you know, doctrines of Scripture, concerning things to come. She was known, you know, all over the nation and much of the world for her dreams and visions. And yet, there came a time when some deception caught up to her. And she actually, I think, was prayed over by the false revival movement people. And suddenly, in her own personal life, she got deceived. She started claiming titles. She started having supernatural ectoplasmic manifestations, you know, visible manifestations of spirits around her that were kind of glorifying her, and everybody thought it was God, but it wasn't. And she got this revelation that the Lord spoke to her and told her to leave her husband and to claim this great title. And I tried to talk to her and to talk sense into her and to tell her that whatever she got on her, anointed her from other people or whatever, was a deception, and that she needed. But this idol was in her heart. This being important, being somebody, being in authority, so she didn't obey these scriptures, you know. And I spoke to her husband. As a matter of fact, I talked to her husband, and he was just heartbroken. Didn't understand what hit him, and what hit his family. And so I told him what hit him. You know, the false revival movement had anointed his wife and deceived her mightily. And now her dreams would not be worth the paper that they were written on. And her revelations would not be either, because you could not trust them anymore because of these spirits. This happens to people. This person could have a reputation for having good, edifying dreams and visions, but suddenly, if they're taken in some offense and some idol takes hold of their heart, they won't be trustworthy anymore. And you have to watch for these things. So what do you do with people? I mean, I'm talking about in the New Testament. What do you do when you come across someone like that? Let me read a little bit further down. I think we can gain some wisdom here. He says, "Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or unto that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with your heart, with all of your heart and with all of your soul." So God himself will try you with someone who's having their own problem. You know, maybe an idol. Maybe they're just have a lust for authority and position, and this has made them a false prophet. You know, their ambition has caused them to come forth with this deception. Okay? But the Lord is using it, because he's trying his church with these false dreams, you know, to see if you indeed love the Lord, if you will indeed hold his commandment higher than any dream or any vision. You know, verse 4 says, "You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice." This is the trial right here. Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? No matter what. No matter what the devil is tempting you with, to be great, to be somebody, to have this great blessing, you know, at the expense of the Word of God. You know, or are you going to believe his commandments and keep his commandments and obey his voice? "And you shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of bondage, to draw thee aside out of the way." Here it is. To draw thee aside. A person who has these idols in their life, they've got a lust, they've given in to temptation, they're living in sin, you can't trust that person. You can't trust them. You have to watch very carefully their dreams and visions. If a person is a true disciple of Jesus Christ, they're walking the crucified life, they love him, they're trusting him to be their Savior, you can trust a person's dreams like that. But you have to compare them all to the Scriptures, you know. The Scriptures are first. You see in here that the trial is, are you going to be led astray of the Scriptures? This is the trial. And if you are, it just proves that you're not one of God's elect. You're not going to be a chosen vessel of God, right? Eklektos, elect, is the same word for chosen, right? So notice what the law demanded. The law demanded that they shall be put to death. What about in the New Testament? Do we have any example of that? Nope. I have no example of judging dreams, visions, or prophecies in the New Testament according to the law. Many people do that. Many people are out there, they use it to condemn their enemies, basically, in God's people, among God's people. They use it. They use it as a competitive thing. They're quick to say, false prophet, you know. And maybe they don't even have the interpretation of the dream or the vision, but they're quick to say, according to their own judgment, their own lack of understanding, that this person is a false prophet. But in the New Testament, we don't see any example of judging anybody according to the law. If you judge people according to the law, you're going to be judged according to the law. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you again. Not only do we not stone people to death, but that spirit of condemnation that's running around making everybody a false prophet. These people are some of the most idolatrous people out there. Okay? So how come we don't see that kind of a judgment in the New Testament concerning dreams and visions and even prophecies? Let me tell you. I mean, take a look at the New Testament. You'll discover, for instance, that in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus judged false prophets by a totally different criterion than what most people do. His judgment of a false prophet was a person whose life was corrupt in every instance. Notice, he didn't judge them by whether they prophesied or thus saith the Lord that was good, because we notice in this few verses right here that they can prophesy things and they do come to pass. But that's not the criterion for a false prophet. Read it in the New Testament, Matthew 7. In that case, it was their fruits. Were they corrupt? Were they living in sin? You know, he didn't even examine or have us examine their prophecy. He said, examine this. Are they corrupt? Are they living in sin? Do they have any fruit? That was how Jesus judged a false prophet. That's very interesting. So how do we deal with the person who has inherited a spirit from mom, dad, aunt, uncle, you know, somewhere on up, grandmother, grandfather, on up the line somewhere? How do we know? How do we deal with that person in the New Testament, you know? Well, of course, we want everyone to make it, don't we? And we ourselves have had problems. Every one of us have inherited things that that may keep us or may be hindering us from having the best of God, right? So if we've got a brother or sister who is taking in a fault like this, or a problem, or an inheritance, or a deception, or an idol, the first thing we want to do, we want to see them saved, don't we? It's not, you know, there are people that all they do is they run out there to condemn others because they think that makes them greater, because they can go and condemn everybody else. But God doesn't see it that way. And he that judges with mercy shall be judged with mercy. The Bible's very plain. We want to offer to anybody deliverance from a spirit that may be hindering them, that may be bringing deception unto them. We want to offer to them the Word of God to see if they will humble themselves to the Word of God. We want to try to help. That's the Spirit in the New Testament, the Spirit of grace in the New Testament. You want to judge according to grace. You can't do what you can't do. I mean, when God has turned someone over because of willful rebellion to some deception, and they are receiving dreams, or other false people are coming to them, giving them dreams, and they're accepting this deception, they're accepting this false doctrine, they're being deceived because of their idols. But what do we want for them? What do we desire for them? What do we try to bring to them? We try to bring deliverance. We try to bring grace. We try to put faith in their hearts. Some people, they're just weak. They need help. They need grace. They need faith in their life so that they know they have power over this thing. Some people are discouraged. They don't want to look at their problem any longer because they don't see any hope, you know. And so we can bring hope to them. We can bring courage. We can bring faith to them. We want them to be delivered. This is for eternal life we're talking about here. If we just cut this person off, we're not worried about their eternal life. I know we can't help everybody, but the Spirit of grace, the offer of grace, is still there, and we need to offer it. Now, if they turn it down, there's nothing we can do about that, but we could package it the very best way we can to try to get it across to them and get it around their flesh and try to help them. And, sometimes we don't offer it in the best package, and sometimes we don't offer it with grace. Sometimes their pride gets in the way. They're not able to receive it. But we want everybody to be delivered, you know. And we have to be very careful that other people in the body do not receive false dreams from someone who's had a history of having good dreams, because they've fallen astray through deception. We want to make sure that that doesn't spread throughout the body, you know. But we need to have love. We need to understand ignorance. Because many people are ignorant of the problem that they have, and if God is showing it to us, we need to show it to them in the most graceful way possible. You know, there are many places in the Scriptures where false dreams and visions are given. Again, many times it's in the Old Testament. And we need to remember that there is a spirit, there is a difference between the way we deal with people in the New Testament and the Old Testament. Many people don't understand that. And Jeremiah 27 is a good example. Let me read to you a portion of it. Let's say verse 9 on down. It says, "But as for you, hearken ye not to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreams, nor to your soothsayers, nor to your sorcerers, that speak unto you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie unto you to remove you far from your land, that I should drive you out, and you should perish. And the nation that shall bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, that nation will I let remain in their own land, says the Lord. And they shall till it and dwell therein." Well, I don't know, you know, if everybody's making the same application that I'm making here, but the kingdoms of the world, you know, in Romans 13, we're told to submit to them. We're told to resist not him that's evil. We're told to turn the other cheek. There is a majority of Christians that do not obey the commands of Jesus concerning worldly governments, worldly people, leadership that he has put over them. But Romans 13 is plain that there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. And he tells us to submit to them. There is a lot of people who will not. They will fight because they have their own ambitions, their own idols, and because they disobey the word of God, deception will come to them. And in this case, it was coming through false prophets, deception, deceiving dreams, revelations that were telling these people, no, you don't have to serve this government. Well, God brought that government in there upon them and conquered them because they were rebellious people against his word. And he told them, now you submit. Yeah. And today it's the same. There are many people that in our nation, where I'm teaching here that want to rebel against this country, and they will rebel against this country, and God will send them deception, and they will lose their battle. And the king of Babylon will conquer them just like he did these people. And so there are people today that they're not going to like who is voted into office. We're very near November the 4th here. They're not going to like it. But I tell you, it's a judgment from God. What's happening here is a judgment from God. There's no one in power that God didn't put there. And even Daniel said he sets up over them the basest of men, but yet people have their own ambition. They want to help God. They want to force his hand in this world. They're going to rise up, and they're going to lose because God's not with them. He's not going to stand with them. They're going to lose. And, you know, we have a way of dealing. It is to resist not man, to turn the other cheek, to love our enemies, to do good to them. It's all these things are contrary to the idol of flesh. All these things are contrary to the idol of self-will. They are crucifying. But yet these are the commands of the Lord. People think that they can just ignore the commands of the Lord. But they can't get away with it. You see, he's telling us in Deuteronomy 13, you know, that the trial is, are we going to obey his commands, or are we going to let these deceptions rule over us, these false dreams, false prophecies? In this case, they were saying, no, you don't have to submit to this nation. You know, they had their own ideas. They were going to rebel. And God said, basically, that they were going to conquer them. Only if they would submit was God going to let them remain in their land. And Well, I guess we're coming pretty close to the end of this teaching today. And but Jeremiah 23, that's a good place to go to concerning this idol also. I'm going to read just a little bit of this before we run out of time here. From 16 on down, it says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They teach you vanity. They speak a vision of their own heart." Can this happen? Can people have a very convincing vision or dream? Yes, they can. But it will be for the purpose of leading you astray from the Scriptures. And he says, "Not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say continually unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And unto every one that walketh in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you." So it's peace and safety, ear-tickling doctrines, you know. Many dreams and visions nowadays are for the purpose of puffing people up. They're for the purpose of glorifying man. You know, they're for the purpose of actually leading you astray, of submitting your life to the Lord and to the Word of God. And there's this prosperity doctrine out there. No evil's going to come upon you. All they want to tell people is what they want to hear. You know? In other words, they're building an idol in their heart, you know, to deceive them. And, you know, if you are of that mind yourself, you may receive dreams and visions that are deceptions. And the only way you can be sure that what you're receiving is from God is if you love the truth and you walk the crucified life and you cast aside your idols. Otherwise, he says, you're going to be deceived. Many people are deceived. Many, many people that call themselves Christians are deceived. And they're receiving dreams that are leading them astray. And verse 18, "For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord?" Here's someone who's qualified right here. "Who has stood in the counsel of the Lord that he should perceive and hear his word? Who hath marked my word and heard it?" Here's someone you can trust. Here's someone who probably has good dreams and visions, you know, and prophecies, you know. "Behold," in other words, if you're not obeying the Lord, you can't trust him. That's a strange thing to say. But if you're not obeying him, you've got your idols, your reasons for not obeying him, you can't trust him. He will deceive you. We just read that, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. "Behold, the tempest of the Lord, even his wrath, is gone forth. Yea, a whirling tempest, it shall burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until it has executed, until he has performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days you shall understand it perfectly. I sent not these prophets, yet they ran. I spake not unto them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel..." See, here's the only way you can be a true leader, teacher, revelator, so on and so forth. "But if they had stood in my counsel, then had they caused my people to hear my words." In other words, the truth. They would be able to share truth in dreams, in visions, in prophecies, in whatever, revelation, teaching. "And had turned them from their evil ways and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places so that I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies, even the prophets of the deceit of their own heart?" Interesting. The deceit of their own heart. They make up visions in their heart. They see them because of their own selfish ambition, their own lusts, right? "That think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams." See, God's name is his nature, his character, His authority. That's what the word means. And His nature, of course, is revealed in His Word. And people are going astray from God's Word because they respect in a man, they respect in a dream, they respect in a revelation of this great man, right? To think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers forget my name for Baal. Baal is, of course, a false Jesus, right? Let him tell a dream. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. For what is the straw to the wheat? That is, the wheat is, of course, those that speak his word faithfully, and those that speak a false or a lying dream are straw to the wheat, right? Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Oh, thank you, Father. Well, we've come to the end of our program here, and God bless you. We'll probably take up where we're leaving off right here and study some more on this false dreams and visions, and then maybe interpretation of dreams and visions. We have all this in the Scriptures waiting for us. God bless you, saints.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-16-16, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands.